Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you. We are gathered on this Easter Sunday because we are here to celebrate resurrection. The same power that raised your Son from the grave is made available for us here and now today to experience resurrection in our own lives. We are here to experience new life. We are here to experience forgiveness, second chances, reconciliation within our relationships. We're here to celebrate new beginnings and fresh starts. We're here to celebrate as we turn over a new leaf. Lord, we thank you for that power which has been given to us so that we might be made into new creations. And Lord, on this day, we also remember those who are struggling and who have not felt that power of resurrection on this day, whether they be friends or family members or people all across the globe. Lord, we ask that you would allow us to be your light. We ask that you would allow us to be the resurrection so that through our lives, through our actions, through our words, through our service, through our gifts, and through all that we do, that we would be your representatives, that we would be the living manifestation of your resurrected Son, Jesus, today. Lord, we take a moment of silence as we lift up prayers for our friends, our family members, for all those who are suffering all across the globe, who are in need of your healing, your strength, your guidance, and your resurrection. We also take a moment of silence, and we ask that your Spirit would speak to us, to challenge us, to move us, to encourage and inspire us to be your disciples on this day. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks on this day for all that you have done and all that you continue to do. We lift up all of these prayers as we pray the prayer you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning's scripture is taken from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.' Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen laying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Dean. Good morning. He is risen. Just checking. Happy Easter. This is a wonderful day of celebration. This is the high and holy day of the Christian tradition. This is a time to recognize that Christ lives, not only for those who were at the tomb in that first early morning, in those first early morning hours, but at the tomb for us as well. It is a time for us to remember that Christ brings by his life renewal for our lives, the possibility of reconciliation with others and with God, and resurrection in all kinds of forms. This is the reason that we wear Easter bonnets and get the new Easter dresses. This is the reason that we gather together and have plastic grass in green or pink. It's the reason that we eat animals shaped in chocolate. This is the reason that we have ham and cheesy potatoes and deviled eggs. You ever think about that on Easter, deviled eggs? And it's the reason that we have those Jell-O eggs, you know, those big lumps of Jell-O you can hold in your hand, and also marshmallow salad, or my mom's favorite Jell-O salad with shredded carrots and celery and vinegar in green Jell-O. Oh, yeah. That's the reason that we have this day. We celebrate that Christ is risen. And you may be here because this is just what you do on Sunday morning. Because every Sunday is a mini resurrection leading to this day. You may be here because you are honoring a loved one who's seated by you. They said you're going to church and you said, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. And you're here honoring them. Or you may be here because you had this feeling when you got up this morning that this, of all days, was a day that you should be in church because something special about this day. And I would say whatever reason has brought you to this place in this moment today, there is one thing that can bind us. And that is for all of us, we can go out boldly proclaiming that he has risen, risen indeed, and that Christ lives. Okay, so that's pretty much what I have to say. But since I have you here, I got to talk a little bit about this particular scripture. So please pray with me. Lord, we are so thankful for this good news of resurrection. As we look at this particular scripture story, let your spirit be with us. Let us be moved in awe for your life, in wonder that you live even today, and in joy that we are alive through you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, through the Lenten season leading up to Easter, we have been talking in our congregation about Jesus' path of stone. We've started from the earliest time in his ministry when he was in the wilderness in the midst of temptation and was asked by Satan to turn a stone into bread if he had the power to do so, but he did not do that. We were with him in the rocky regions of the Galilee and the stone shores of the Sea of Galilee. We heard that Jesus said that he would die and be raised in 3 days. And we also heard him say that he was the cornerstone that would be rejected in his time here. We followed Jesus on that stony path as he made his way to Jerusalem. And in these last couple of weeks, we've remembered Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Palms waving, people shouting Hosanna, and the religious leaders saying, you need to make these people be quiet. And Jesus saying, if they were quiet, even the stones would cry out. And so we moved into Holy Week, and we remember the rocky road that Jesus took. As he prayed on the hillside, the stone hillside, the Mount of Olives, as he was taken, arrested, and taken to Caiaphas' house, as he was put through the mockery of a trial with Pilate, and we remember that cross set into stone, and Jesus laid in a newly hewn stone grave, and a stone rolled across it. And we might say to ourselves, well, that's the final stone. But as we heard the scripture this morning, there is one more stone. we hear that as the women came to the tomb, they found that the stone had been rolled away. Now, I've been thinking a lot about that stone in particular this week. And we don't hear anything else about it except that it was rolled away, because what happens next is much more dramatic. The women come, they're puzzled because the tomb is empty. They see these two people in dazzling clothes, they're terrified, and then they remember what Jesus had said, they run back to tell people. Peter hears, he runs to the tomb, he looks inside, all he sees are grave clothes, and he is amazed. It is a great story, and we often go to this Easter story looking at those who were there and their actions, but I'd like to take a moment to answer, to figure through a question. Why in the world was the stone rolled away? If you remember some of the accounts of Jesus' resurrection, there really wasn't a reason. You see, Jesus got around as a resurrected Christ. In the day, we read in the Gospel of Luke that he visited some people that were walking along the road on the way to Emmaus. He had dinner with them, and when he broke bread with them, they recognized him as the risen Savior. He went back into Jerusalem kind of quickly, and there he was able to give peace to those who were gathered in a locked room. We read in the Gospel of John that he talked with Mary Magdalene outside the tomb. And then he went on to the disciples who were in hiding, appeared to them, and offered his peace and offered the Holy Spirit. And then we hear that just days later, he was on the Sea of the Galilee shore giving bread and fish to disciples who had gone back to fishing. And in the Gospel of Matthew, we read that the risen Christ made his way to Galilee and there appeared to his disciples on a mountainside, giving them the commandment to give the good news to other people. The truth is that Jesus did not need the stone rolled away. He wasn't like he had to walk through that. He could have gotten where he needed to get, just as he did in all of the other resurrection appearances. So the stone being rolled away isn't so much for Christ as it is for us. The stone has been rolled away so that we might understand and celebrate that Christ has risen. And we can look to the examples that are here in the Gospel of Luke to find out what it is our reaction to be. And so we look at these women. Now the women, according to the Gospel of Mark, were already talking before they got to the tomb, wondering who was going to roll the stone away because it was too heavy. They get there and they find that it is away from the tomb, and they go right into the tomb. And instead of seeing Jesus, who is gone, they see two persons in dazzling clothes. This is code for angel, okay? So they see these angels, and where they were puzzled, they move into being terrified. And that's understandable. But this is key. As they leave the tomb, what the gospel writer tells us is that they begin to remember. What in the world would they remember? Well, certainly they would remember the three times that Jesus said, "I will be killed and I will rise again on the third day." They'd remember that. But my guess is they would also remember Jesus' presence with them, his healing in his ministry, his wise words, the way he was able to take bread and fish and multiply it to feed thousands in one sitting. They would remember his humility, his grace, and they would remember his love. So they went to tell the disciples in their excitement. And Peter heard and wanted to know for himself. So he ran back to that empty tomb. And it says in the gospel, he looked inside. He looked inside the tomb and he saw the grave clothes lying there. But nothing else. And we're told that he was amazed. Now, it's interesting. We are not told that Peter believed, but that he was amazed. And I like to think that what we're witnessing is that transformation happening in Peter before our eyes. Peter was the one who had said to Jesus, "You are the Messiah, the one come to save." And Peter would be, in just a few months, he would be the guy at Pentecost coming out of a locked room in Jerusalem to talk with thousands of people and to talk about the risen Lord who was real and had conquered death. And so we catch Peter in this in-between point and find him amazed. And if the tomb is open for us, if the stone has been rolled away for us, then we have a few things that we can do as well. We can be like these women. We can remember. We can remember not only the Easter story that we remember as a child, perhaps Sunday school teachings and times where we were waving palms. We might remember the story of the empty tomb and Jesus' resurrection appearances. But we can also remember the promise Jesus made to be with us always, that he chose each of us, that we are loved more than we can possibly imagine, and we can remember the Easter stories of our lives. Not just those Easter stories we were dressed up and ready for Easter Sunday, but Easter stories of change and reconciliation and resurrection and renewal. And we can remember our times of hope in the darkest of times because of this good news. And we can, like Peter, be amazed. Amazed that this is such a compelling story that today millions of people gather like us. Some of them in churches grand, some in churches modest, some in the outdoors. But we all gather to sing that Christ has risen today and that this compelling good news has lasted through the centuries and will continue on by the power of God. And we can be amazed at our connection with all of those people. And there's something else that we can do because the stone is rolled away, and it has to do with those women. And just in case you thought I missed it, I noticed how those disciples dismissed those women. Oh yeah, I noticed it. But despite what perhaps they knew was coming, despite what those disciples did, those women told a story. And they didn't tell someone else's story. They told their story of their personal experience. Look, we went there to prepare his body for death, and his body was gone. We heard that he has risen and goes before us, and that's the story that we have to tell. And I would suggest that because the stone is rolled away, each of us has a story to tell. Now, for some of us, we might say, yeah, I got a story, I got this thing memorized, but I prefer the Gospel of John, or I prefer the Gospel of Mark, but that's the story I'm telling. And I can tell that at Easter dinner today. I can tell that to people who want to know what Easter is about. I can summarize it. But I would suggest that there are deeper and richer stories in each of us that have to do with Easter, because they are our stories. Like the women told the story of their experience, we have stories of resurrection in our lives by the grace of God that we can tell. I was saddened to hear just about 20 minutes before the Good Friday service here at 7 on Friday that a good friend of mine had died. She was Wilma. She was my traveling companion for many years. We traveled in Europe. We traveled in the United States. She was a delight and extremely patient with me. And I have to admit, my colleagues can tell you I was a little bit dazed on Friday night. But I'll tell you what my story has been in these last 2 days. My story has been about resurrection and the hope of her glory with Jesus Christ. If you are mourning today, if you have a story of someone who has died that is close to you, whether it's here and now or whether it was years ago, your story of hope is a resurrection story. Your story of certainty that God walks with our loved ones by the grace of Jesus Christ is a story that we can tell over and over again. And your story might be one of changed life. I've got a story. I was 16 years old when I came to faith because a youth group, a United Methodist youth group, I was Episcopalian, this youth group took me in and showed me God's love And I understood the renewing presence of Jesus Christ in my life. I have a story. I have a story in my life of saying yes to God just a few more times than I said no, and getting myself in this situation where I've been for 24 years. Each of us has a story of something changing in their life and renewal. We may be able to recount times when we have been down low, times of disappointment, times of despair, times of even transition. And through those, we find we have stories of renewal and grace from God and power by the living Lord. For those of you who don't know, I'm going through this amazing transition this year. I'm getting married for the first time. Can you believe it? Am I nuts? And I'll tell you, in the midst of, I mean, the wedding stuff, yeah, that'll take care of itself. But in the midst of going from being one to two, from having my way to negotiating, to to welcoming children and grandchildren into my life, I have found myself in a challenging place of transition, joyous but challenging. And I will tell you that I am carrying with me in that a story of resurrection and renewal for myself and for my fiancé, George. Every one of us has a story. And you may not begin by saying Jesus rose from the dead, but at the very foundation of your story is that empty tomb. Because that is what brings us life. Not only life hereafter and into eternity, but life right now in the reign of God. If you want to tell the women's story, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joanna, you can tell those stories. If you want to tell Peter's story and just be amazed today, you can tell that story. But I would encourage you today, when you've got your fork poised over those cheesy potatoes, be ready today to tell your story. A story of hope and resurrection for those who have died. A story of reconciliation in broken relationships that can be fixed and renewed. A story of transformation. A story of renewal. Because the stone has been rolled away. He lives, Jesus reigns, and that's our story today. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, fill us so that your love is evident in our lives, in our stories, in our actions. Let us be filled with joy as you have filled us with this communal meal. Amen. Go now in the joy of Easter, celebrating, telling your story. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in peace. Amen. Amen.